What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 210. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
Not a whole lot. Just ready to get this podcast going. I'm making sure I got all my tabs open.
You got your tabs? You got everything, rolling?
I had YouTube up and going, and it was echoing audio, so I had to fix that real quick. I think I'm good.
And you just showed me your ice cream?
Yep. I got some frozen custard over here. I'll try not to eat on camera.
Yeah, I have a hint water. That's all I got.
I have like a water bottle, but
yeah, that's all I got here. But we had some pretty cool reviews this week, so we'll just, you know, kind of jump right into our reviews. Everybody who is following along, of course, we have our show notes page that is linked below, so you can go ahead and follow along with us if you want, so you get the page that kind of looks like this. But our first review this week is the first air cooler that Corsair has come out with in 8 years. So, of course, we know Corsair.
Wait, what was before it?
It was the A50, I believe.
Okay.
It's almost like a single tower version of this, yet much smaller, and it doesn't have all the features that this has. But that's kind of what it was before. But that was 8 years ago. That's like forever.
It's forever in computer hardware
time. Yeah, in computer hardware time. And of course, we know Corsair is like the king of AIOs. I think they're one of the biggest brands out there. And of course, they're known for so many other things. Of course, memory, cases, like gaming accessories. I mean, Corsair is a big brand. So to see them come out with a CPU cooler, and you know, you kind of thought like, if they're going to come out with a CPU cooler, it's going to be loaded with RGBs. It's going to be this kind of big showy thing, but it is a high, it's made to be high performance. It's priced against Noctua's highest end air coolers. It's massive. It's one of the biggest coolers that I've ever reviewed. So it's definitely not for, I would say, just normal people. Like it's not just like your normal performance. It's even meant to compete with their own AIOs, I would say, at its price point.
Nothing. It's huge too, right? Like, I mean, obviously you can scroll down and you'll see it's enormous.
It's a massive cooler. So it actually, I initially thought it was a dual tower cooler, but it's not. It's one big heat sink that has like the center hollowed out, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But it is a massive cooler, dual fan cooler. Again, the fans are not RGB, which is weird for Corsair, right? It's a little odd. Yeah. So you have kind of like the same fans almost that you see on their AIOs. And one cool thing about the fans is, I wish I had it here so I could show you, but the fans are on this sort of, not a clip system, but sort of like a system where they just slide up and down and you can slide them on and off. So I think that is like, again, it's like a user thing. It's like, I think Corsair thought about this a little bit because so many of these big coolers are just not great for they're not very user friendly. They're made for enthusiasts, and for first time users, this could be a good cooler and you want something that's easy. So having the fans be able to kind of slide on and off, and here's the mechanism for that, that you can see, they just kind of like slide on this groove. It just makes it super, super easy. Again, you can see there are four heat pipes on this. And what's interesting about the heat pipes is that they're different colors, or not different colors, different sizes. I'm sorry. They're different sizes, as you can see here. So you have two larger ones and then two smaller ones on the outside. They are direct touch. Yep. And we do have pre-applied thermal paste, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but I can see, again, for beginners, like, it's already pre-applied. You don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think it's a pretty good, feature. I don't know. I go back and forth on thermal paste, whether I like the pre-applied stuff or not. A lot of times, like if you're a first-time user, you put that on there and then you almost second-guess yourself, like, did I get it in the right spot or not?
Yeah.
And then it's like almost ruined, so you have to put it on. Do they send you any additional?
Yeah, so they send you another full thing, like another full syringe of it, you know? Cool. The only issue I have with pre-applied is like there's no real warning that it's pre-applied, And if you're taking this out and you accidentally set it down, that's just not good. And it's very hard to clean. Yeah. But before we get into performance, we have Chase in the comments, and he bought a Lian Li Lancol 2, and he asked any idea what he should put in it. $1,000 budget. $1,000, I feel right now, goes a pretty long way.
It does. And it really depends on what you're wanting to do. Like, do you want it to be gaming? Are you doing video editing? I mean, really, they kind of go hand in hand right now with the multi-core, multi-thread units, what do you think I would suggest?
So. Here's the thing, Ryan. What kind of system do you think I would suggest as of right now?
Like a year ago, I would have said an Intel system, but I think this year I would say like either a Ryzen 5 or Ryzen 7 3000 series. And like, depending on whether you want to overclock or not, you know, like X570 system.
Yeah.
With some sort of NVIDIA card.
Yeah. I think a 2070?
Yeah.
With
2070 with like a 2700X or even like a 3600. Yeah, a
2700X right now is very cheap. Yep. Cheap DDR4 SSD, doesn't even need to be a Gen 4 SSD. He already has the case. You can get a decent power supply. I think that would be like $1,000. I'm not going to go on PC Part Picker right now, but sure. Ryzen 5 3600 or 3600X is great. Joseph is in the house. He said, "What's up? What's up, Joseph?" Any of that, you know, that kind of build, I always say right now Ryzen's kind of the way to go, and it's pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. And graphics card prices have come down a little bit. I think when did you get your 2070 for?
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it. I didn't want to think about it, so it wasn't crazy.
Yeah. And DDR is decently affordable right now as well, so you can do a lot with that. So I think that's a good starting point. I just tell people kind of go on PC Part Picker and kind of pick things out. You know, that's kind of my suggestion.
Yeah, I think I paid like $529, something like that, for my card.
Yeah. Coming back to the A500 from Corsair, One thing I also liked about it is that it's designed, like, it looks quite good for, you know, these big air coolers. They're kind of just like, they don't look very modern. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Corsair kind of put their modern touch on it with this sort of top piece here. I do like the way it looks, but I do have to say it is very massive. Now, one thing talking about like ease of use, what Corsair did is they made it super easy to install. Like, for how big this cooler is, which I'll show you, you remove, for Ryzen installation, you remove the mounting points on each side. You keep the backplate on your board, you install these mounts, and then you put it on there, and then they do give you a screwdriver. You take off that top cap and you screw in each side. It's really that easy. And if you have larger memory, you can actually just slide the fans up, so you don't even have to remove them really to do your installation. But if you look at it, I mean, it's huge.
Reaches the edge of the board.
Yeah. So
if you have RGB RAM, you're not going to see it.
Yeah, that's one of my cons for this cooler is that it is just so big. I mean, it's going to cover your memory on on both sides. So if you have a high-end desktop system, it's going to cover memory on both sides. If you have larger memory, you can run into some clearance, and it's kind of hard to tell, but I did have to bump up the fan just slightly. And that is going to, obviously, if you move the fans up, it's going to hinder performance a little bit. Just because common sense that if you don't have the appropriate airflow, it's just not going to be as good. It's massive. But for the, you know, for being such a massive cooler, it does do a good job at cooling. The problem that I have with it, or it's two problems. One is that the competition that's out there is so good. The Noctua, if we look at our load results here, the NHU12A does better under load, only by 2 degrees, but it's still better, right? And it's smaller and it doesn't cover your memory. And it's around the same price. The Cooler Master, the Master Air MA620M, it does better by about a degree. better under load, but it also does it with only one fan, and it has RGB lighting, and I think it's a better looking cooler. And then you have the Hyper 212 RGB Black Edition, which performs the same under load, and it's much smaller, and it's $50 cheaper.
Yeah, much more.
I think that's the elephant in the room, I think, because it's just that cooler is just crazy performance. I have no clue why, honestly.
Yeah.
But there's just so much competition, and the fans are decently loud when you put full load on your CPU. Again, the Noctua fans are quieter, and the Master MA620M, it's quieter, and it only uses a single fan. So I think that this cooler is like a good try, and it's not a bad cooler. If you look at the performance, like, it's really not a bad cooler compared to all the other coolers we reviewed. It's just...
I think for their re-entry, it's great.
Yeah, I think, and they're doing a lot of things right. So many of these coolers on this list right here are hard to install. They're, things are just like, the user experience had like wasn't really thought about when it comes to a lot of these coolers. Noctua does it right. Cooler Master on their Master Air MA620M, they did it right, but on the Master Air MA620P, it was not good whatsoever. You know, so it's hit or miss on that. So they've done that right. I also like the idea of the fan mounts. It makes things so much easier. I hate fan clips. You bend them. When you're trying to install the fan clips, you cut your finger on the actual heatsink. Like, yep. All that was solved with this, which I think is a good thing, you know, going forward. And I think a lot of air cooling companies will look at this because Corsair is such a huge brand and they're getting a lot of attention with this. Like, okay, maybe we need to rethink this whole fan mounting thing, or okay, we need to make our installation much easier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, from what I saw in person at CES and then just, you know, looking at your review and others, they've definitely got some nice innovations, especially tied to looks, and installation for sure. So,
yeah. So I gave it an 8 out of 10, but just because, again, at the price point that it is, it's a $100 cooler. There are better coolers out there, specifically the Cooler Master MA620M and the Noctua NHU12A. The Sys Ninja 5 also beats it out. That thing's a monstrosity, and I don't recommend that to anybody unless you really want it. definitely check out that review if you want more information. Check that out. We will have a video on that coming out as well, so definitely stay tuned for that. And then Chase also asked, it's his first build, what should he not do? And you said one of the things that I think a lot of people do is they skimp out on power supply quality. If you get a cheap power supply, you have to realize that that is what's powering all of your components. And if you have some type of, you know, problem with your power supply, it's likely going to affect your other components. I don't know how many builds you've seen where people have had that happen.
Yeah. And, you know, like, a lot of times you'll save money on like a case or something and go super cheap, and the power supply in it is super cheap as well, and can end up just causing more issues than it's the headache that it's worth, right? Spend a little more there and maybe don't get the RGB memory, or get a side panel on a case that's acrylic instead of tempered glass. But definitely don't skimp on power supply quality.
Yeah, I think that's
like my major don't do.
Yeah. And it just in general, try to build with known brands, right?
Yep.
You don't get an SSD from an unknown brand. You know what I mean?
They're so cheap now that there's no reason to do that.
Yeah, don't go on eBay and buy these fake graphics cards that people buy.
Yeah, or Alibaba or whatever.
You know, just buy everything. If you do it on PC Part Picker, it's pretty good. We obviously recommend Amazon, Newegg, places like that if you live by a micro center. You know, but yeah, just the power supply is probably the biggest one, you know, and just don't buy like unknown brand parts.
Don't forget your thermal paste, and don't forget your IO shield on your motherboard.
Yeah, don't forget the IO shield. I've done that so many. I've done that on reviews.
Just like, no, forget it.
Also, don't forget to peel off the piece of film on your CPU cooler before you put the thermal paste on and install it, because I've done that too. So,
yep.
So yeah. But yeah, so on to our next review, which is a really cool and interesting keyboard. So we've talked about Glorious PC Gaming Race and their Model O mouse, their lightweight mouse, but they also have a keyboard. And this keyboard is really designed for people who are really serious about gaming. And it is their GMMK, which stands for Glorious Modular Mechanical Keyboard. So this is a mechanical keyboard. They offer it in three different sizes. We got the 10 keyless, and I'm a 10 keyless guy. Like, that is my form factor. If you're not familiar with 10 keyless, it is pretty much a full keyboard minus the number pad. So you don't have the number pad over there. And with their design, it's very minimalistic. There's hardly, like, once you get past the keys, there's not much part of the chassis at all, which I'm a fan of. Some people like a lot of room around their keyboard. I don't. So you can see why I'm a fan of this keyboard. It has the little ascend keycap there on the escape key, which is pretty cool as well. But the big thing why they call this the modular keyboard is because you can actually swap out the switches. Not just the keycaps, you can swap out the actual switches. So they give you a puller where you can pull out and swap switches. And the reason that this is important is if you are a serious gamer, you might want a different feel for different, you know, buttons on the keyboard, different keys. Like maybe you're 1 through 4 you use in a game, but you want them to have a little bit different of a feel, you can swap out the switches. The version that we got had the Gateron Browns, which is, of course, just like a Cherry MX Brown. I do like Gateron. I think, in my opinion, it goes Cherry MX, Gateron, Kale, and then the rest of them. So it is, you know, a good switch. It's a mechanical switch, obviously. Has really good feedback. But the thing that was an issue for me is that you can go on their website and pick different switch types. Like, you can pick all of the Gaterons and all the Kales, basically. So you can customize the keyboard to your liking. Mm-hmm. But it's for the whole keyboard. So I thought, you know, this is modular. I'll pay more money to get 4 WASDs that are blues and the rest be browns, right?
Sure.
Or a mixture of that. Or, like, they could at least predefine, like, what you could customize. WASD, maybe 1 through 4, like, things you would use in certain games.
Right.
But you can only customize the entire board, which I'm not a fan of. I would pay more money to get the switches that I want, but the time that I'm buying it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yep. And I think you scrolled past this. One thing I noticed was they look like they're ABS keycaps as opposed to PBT.
Yeah, so they're not PBT keycaps. They're double shot ABS, which, and they do have this sort of, like, harder finish on them, which actually made me think they were PBT at first, but they're not. They feel better than your typical ABS, the glossy ones.
Yep.
They feel a lot better than that, in my opinion. But because they have this harder finish, I wouldn't say they look as nice as the glossy ones, right?
Yeah, I noticed that right away. Looking at that they definitely don't look like PBT. And I'm really kind of surprised that Glorious didn't go with them, because I don't want to call them a boutique-y company, right? But they're not your major, you know, Corsair, Cooler Master
and
vendor.
This is their pre-built version. So the pre-built version, again, available in 3 sizes: full size, 10 keyless, and micro. Gateron Browns only. And then just the normal, these double shot ABS keycaps. Now, if you customize, you can do PBT keycaps, and their see-through PBT keycaps as well.
Okay.
Extra cost, but you can customize it that way. But I was actually surprised that their pre-built is only one. It's the Gateron Brown is the only way you can go. You can't choose Gateron Blue. You can't choose, like, it's kind of weird that that's the only pre-built. But overall, I do like the build quality of the keyboard. It's solid. The actual top plate here is aluminum, and it feels really good. Detachable micro USB cable, and I think anything 10 kilos or smaller should have detachable cable. Yep. It has the keycap puller here that's actually built into the keyboard, and then the actual key or the actual switch puller comes with it as well. Now, one thing that was kind of a pain was their software. I know they're a newer company, but their software is just not very good, and I think that that is an issue that needs to be rectified at some point.
What's wrong with it? Just not polished?
It's not polished. Just doesn't feel good. It's very hard. If you're not used to the software, like if you were just first time buying a keyboard, mm-hmm. you would be kind of lost. It's weird. So if you go into this LED light editing mode, and you're like, how do I customize my keys? I can't click on any of these to customize my actual, like to reprogram a key. I can't click on this. Mm-hmm. I have to go to LED lighting mode and click on disabled and then click a key to edit it.
Weird.
So it's like if you wanted light, if you didn't know that you had to turn that off, you would never find it. The actual, you can change settings. You can remap a key to another key. You can remap it to a macro or a media control. There's no Windows controls. There's no launching program. So a lot of stuff is missing in the software. It's kind of clunky. Macros are easy enough to record, but there's not the, you can't edit delays. You can't, do other things. It's just not as polished as other software. So I think they need a lot of work on that. As far as the RGB lighting, it's per key RGB lighting, and it looks quite good. They use the floating key design, so you're going to get a lot more backlight from the keyboard itself. I think it looks pretty good. I think per key RGB lighting is not so much a feature. It's kind of standard these days.
Yep.
So you're getting that as well. I like this keyboard, but I gave it an 8 out of 10. The 10 keyless version is $109.95, which I don't disagree with for what mm-hmm. you're getting. I just think that one, there should be more customization on their website. I should be able to at least pick a section of keys, maybe 5, that I can make whatever switch I want out of the switches that they offer. There's only one pre-built version, which is kind of a bummer too, because you know me, like I'm a blue switch guy.
Yep.
They only have a brown version. If they had Gateron blue, why is there only one pre-built version? And of course, as I said, the software just needs a lot of work. But for $109.95, I think it is a really great keyboard. And if you're somebody that wants to pop out switches and make switches, there's not a whole lot of keyboards that offer that. And a lot of the ones that do are extremely expensive. So this is a pretty good price for that feature. So
yeah, I mean, you'll find those keyboards for the same price with no switches, right? Like,
yeah,
$110, and you've got to add switches to them. So yeah, I think price fair.
Yeah, price is very fair on it. So definitely check out the review if you're interested in that. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, and we have another build in the Cougar Conqueror, but I think this one's a little bit different. It's just different. I'll let you guys check it out here. You can see this one. I think it's just the channel right here that makes it different, right? They've built in this sort of clear acrylic channeling for the water cooling. I love the colors, like blue and white. They have the Galaxy Hall of Fame card here, which is awesome.
Oh, it's not a Kingpin. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an HOF.
Yeah, it's a Hall of Fame card. They have the white Corsair. The white and blue just really go well together, I think. Great water cooling on this. It just looks really good. This is by the High Resolution Computer Shop, which is a computer shop, I think, in Thailand, but I could be wrong. And they do awesome custom builds. Like,
I like those fangirls that they have like on the top.
Oh, yeah.
Fangirls, it's so funny. Fangirls used to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we've kind of gone away from them because they're kind of just built into the case, or we're not worried about getting stuff stuck in them. I don't really know why they went away, but I really like the design on those. Kind of cool.
That's one thing. It's like you don't see that so much anymore, right?
Yeah, you used to see, like, you'd buy a Thermaltake fan or something, it'd come with a metal Thermaltake fan grill with a logo in it.
Yeah, so I think that these fangirls are awesome. This shot is actually really awesome. But yeah, it's like, you know, just a really solid build all around. I believe, I don't know if they got the case white or they painted it white, but it is awesome. So definitely check out this build. It, you know, we've featured a bunch of the Cougar Conqueror builds. I think it's one of the more popular ones. But again, this like custom channeling right here that they've done, I think is pretty awesome and just something different. And the colors and, of course, the hardware that's in there is awesome. This is the Special Edition Hall of Fame card. So,
yeah, that distro plate is kind of just a different take on it.
Yeah.
You know, you're used to seeing it up at the front of the case or kind of next to the motherboard. But this is kind of like floating above the video card and CPU. Like, that's really cool.
If you look at it from this angle, it looks like it's part of the glass side panel, right? So I like that as well. There's the built-in res back here. It's kind of even hard to see, but it's the entire back side of the case back here as well. So really cool stuff. Definitely check this one out. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. So if you want to see, you know, some awesome builds, go ahead in there and check all of that out. And our contest is still going on, guys. So if you haven't entered our $50 gift card contest, we're giving away a $50 gift card to any online store that I can buy a $50 gift card to. So again, as we talked about last week, we have our examples of Amazon, Steam, Xbox, iTunes, but pretty much any place where we can buy you an online gift card, we're going to get you on. So go ahead and get your entry in. We have close to 7,500 entries, 9 days left on this contest. Super easy to enter. We do it all through Gleam. So if you're familiar with that, it's very easy to enter. If you could get a $50 gift card to somewhere, where would you want it to be?
Right now, I'd probably not 99% of the time I'd choose Amazon, but right now I would choose like a WoW time card because I started playing WoW Classic again.
Man,
but that's going to go at the end of the podcast.
This guy is addicted to WoW. It is very addicting. I have to say, when I first played, very addicting. And Ryan did ask me to play it, and I said no.
Yep. So
I value my time. But get your entry in for that. And then tomorrow we will be announcing a new contest as well. And there's a really awesome prize for that one. So definitely stay tuned for that as well. And we'll move on to news. And we had a graphics card launch this week.
Sort of.
Sort of. It's not a new card, but it is a special edition card, which I think looks badass. But I just don't understand why it's launching now. So this all started when... who makes this game? CD Projekt Red, the makers of Cyberpunk 2077. They put out on Twitter, they asked NVIDIA, wouldn't it be cool if you guys made a special edition graphics card for Cyberpunk 2077? And it was a joke back and forth on Twitter. Of course, that was all predetermined because this card was already developed. But it's just a custom RTX 2080 Ti. It's called the Cyberpunk 2077 edition. And as you can see, it has this, you know, the yellow shroud there, and it looks cool.
Yeah, it does look very cool.
It would be cool to have. They're only making 200 of them. 77 are going to be part of a giveaway that's going on right now. We have all the details on the link on the page. It's all done through NVIDIA. You can enter. It would be great to have one of these. The rest of them are being sold for $1,100, which again that's typical pricing. The only real change with the card is that the shroud is actually aluminum. It's made of AL5052 aluminum. So that's pretty cool, I guess. It's just a special edition card. So no, obviously new card. When we heard the announcement, the day before this was actually announced, you know, the whole Twitter thing.
They kind of teased it, right?
Yeah, they teased it. And we thought, okay, this might be a new NVIDIA card, right? Because Cyberpunk 2077 doesn't come out till September.
Yep, it got bumped back. So
yeah, it doesn't come out. And that would be a time frame where you would see a new GPU launch possibly. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case. And I just find it very odd. And I know I'm not complaining, and I might be in the minority of just saying this is odd, but why do we have a special edition graphics card for a game that's not even out yet?
And the game could end up being horrible, right?
Yeah.
Like, you buy this thinking, oh, I'm so excited for 2077. Yeah. And then it just fails, right? Like,
the hype train for this is massive. It's one of the most hyped games. But one, it doesn't come out for 6 months. Yep. And why do we have a special edition card launching now? Wouldn't you want to launch it at launch as like a promo for the game? Right?
Buy this, get a free copy, or by then we may have a new card, right?
Yeah.
That you could launch, you know, I don't know.
It's just very odd to me. It's obviously like a marketing thing. I get it, it's a cool card. I'm not saying it's not a cool card. I just find it weird. It would be like, again, I don't know what to compare it to, but it's just like, why is this launching now when the game's not even out or even close to be like, I could see like the game launches in a month. Here's a special edition graphics card. Yeah. It doesn't launch for 6 months, and it could be even longer than that. We don't know, but yeah, that's, I don't know. But cool card. Get, like I said, they're having their giveaway, so I entered. You should enter. You should enter. Get your entry in to win. Yeah. We have some Intel 10th gen leaks. The first one is a supposed run of Cinebench 20 on the Core i7 1070F. The 1070F is a 8-core, 16-thread parts that has a locked multiplier and does not have integrated graphics. Still should be pretty affordable because it's a Core i7, we would hope that Intel doesn't screw up pricing on these to make them competitive against Ryzen 3000 series. But it scored 4,781 points in the multi-thread test and 492 points in the single-thread test. That makes it comparable to the Ryzen 7 3700X. Good performance. I think that if they do the pricing right, it will be competitive, right?
Yep. Yep.
But we know Intel, and they don't typically do that.
They made some mistakes in recent years with pricing. So
yeah. So definitely, like I said, we'll keep you updated. But we have another 10th gen leak as well. The 10-core i9 10900 was pictured. Picture of it was kind of leaked onto the web on the website XFastest. I know you. It's not like something to super get excited about.
You know what's out there, right? Somebody's got their hands on it and they're testing it.
And what's interesting is if you look at the board, it does not look like a new.
That's the other thing too. I was like, this doesn't look like your standard board. Like, there's a port kind of towards the top
right
left.
Here.
That little flat, almost ribbon connection, and then you see like the revision. What is it?
X01.
So this could be, you know,
it's definitely like a test board or something. Right. Yeah. I don't.
Right. So that port, who knows what that's for? Like, are they getting more diagnostics off of it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely an early version. But it's cool to see. You know that it's out there, right?
Yep.
You know that it's out there. We think this is the supposed LG A1200 socket as well. It's out there. But again, it's not that exciting until we actually really see it. On to a new release this week, and I wanted to talk about it because, mainly because of you, Ryan. It's because you're playing MMOs. Corsair did release a new mouse. It's their Scimitar RGB Elite, which has 17 programmable buttons, and I actually have it. It's
Don't get me wrong. I was like, I did think about picking one of these up.
I could probably send you this, really, if you wanted to review it, since you're Mr. MMO over there. So it has 17 buttons, and this entire section right here can actually be moved up and down and left and right.
And they've had that for a while, right? Where it slides and adjusts. I think that's a pretty nice feature.
So this is like a new version. I reviewed the old version, and it it has a new sensor, some new things changed. Obviously, works with IQ now, like all that kind of stuff. So yeah, like I should probably send this over to you. But the second thing that they announced at the same time was their MM500 3XL mouse pad, which
I think is enormous,
massive. I have a big one here. It's not as big as this one, that one, but I have like the Cooler Master XL, which is more long than it is tall. But this is like, this size is, I think, the perfect size. I'm a huge fan of the mouse pad that covers everything, right? That has your keyboard and mouse on it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the Scimitar Elite, RGB Elite will be $79.99. The M500 will be $50. But yeah, look how big that is.
That is big. I have their like what MM300, I think, whatever their largest one previous to this was.
Yeah,
is what I'm using right now.
It is their largest mouse pad ever. So that's pretty cool as well.
And
so,
it's like, it's one of those things where when you go to one of these as opposed to a standard mouse pad, I can't go back.
Yeah, I don't think, unless I have to review something, I don't think I'm going back.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just really hard to go back. It's just like going, it's the same thing as going from non-mechanical to mechanical. You'll never go back.
And like, I love setting down my phone, right? It's just a softer surface for it.
Yep.
It's just a quality of life thing that really doesn't cost that much. But I think what you get out of it makes it worth it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah. And what else we got here? Another launch that I'm actually really excited about is that ADATA launched a new external SSD that's super fast and super small. It's a little bit bigger than your typical flash drive. Oops. Than your typical flash drive. It is their SE760. You can see these, like, they're very small. I love super fast portable storage. This is USB 3.2 Gen 2, up to 1,000 megabytes a second. It's 12 times faster than your typical external hard drive. It will allow you to transfer a 10 gigabyte 4K movie in 20 seconds.
Wow.
So super fast storage. I love these because I do all of my video editing on an external drive, so I can have it with me. And it's just like, I just always do it on external. I have a USB 3.2 Gen 1, but one of these Gen 2s, I'm excited to get one of these into review because look how just like, that's like a bigger, yeah, like that's like a bigger flash drive.
I knew that when I saw this news that you were going to want to like talk about it here, because there's two things that Bob for sure likes: his blue switches on his keyboards.
Yes.
And like small, fast external solid state drives.
Yes.
You bring a pile of them to CES and everywhere, but yeah, they work well. And
no, I mean, nice. It's just, again, it's like a quality of life thing, right? It's once you're, because you don't realize that when you're editing 4K or higher video, you do need fast storage to keep up, because when you're in Premiere and you're previewing the video, it's going to stutter if you don't have fast storage. If you add an effect to it or something else to the footage, or an adjustment layer or anything, it's going to slow down that footage, and you don't want that to happen because that cuts down on your editing time, right?
Sure.
And all this stuff, but like, again, for media, this is great. For transferring large files between two computers, this is awesome because it's incredibly fast. So I'm really excited for this. I'll be taking a look at another one, which we'll talk about here soon. But I want to get this one in as well because I love that form factor. It's just super small. They didn't put it in the press release, but I did look. I think this is available 256 gig all the way up to 2 terabyte on this. So really cool. External storage. I know I'm geeking out on external storage, but that's kind of, that is my thing. So another new release from our friends at Mod My Mods. So if you don't know what Mod My Mods is, they kind of rose out of the ashes of Frozen CPU. If you guys don't know what Frozen CPU is, you might be a little young. But Frozen CPU was an online store for mod supplies, for case modding things. And they had this big debacle, which we actually linked to in our article. But out of all of that craziness came Mod My Mods. They're located in, I think, Rochester, New York. And they sell case modding supplies. They do a lot of custom case mods. We saw a bunch of their custom case mods at CES. and they have introduced their mod water. So basically, it is water that's made specifically for water cooling. A lot of times, you know, you'd have to purify your own water and do all this kind of stuff. They kind of solve that for you. It's available in a bunch of different colors. It's available in 1 liter sizes for $8.99. I think it's a big deal for them because Mod My Mods is really trying to be more than just like a reseller of other people's stuff, right? They want to build things and create mm-hmm. things for people, right? For modders. So this is one of their products, and we definitely want to support it and tell you guys about it. So if you are doing a custom build, definitely check out their mod water. And it's like I said.
Joseph says he thinks they're still operating, and I was able to get out to Frozen CPU. Now I don't know that I would buy anything from them right now, just because of some of those just their recent, you know, like you linked to some issues they had. I don't know. Maybe they're still legit.
I don't know the story, so I'm not gonna
do your research before you buy from anyone, really.
Yeah, I think that Mod My Mods is like the legit people that didn't want to deal with the drama that was happening with Frozen CPU. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's kind of what happened. Frozen CPU, the website still works, but because of all the drama, which if you guys go into our article, we link it right here. And you can go to that article and read everything that kind of happened and what happened with the employees and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't a very good thing. We definitely want to support Mod My Mods. So if you are doing a water-cooled build and you need coolant, check out their mod water, or at least give it a try. And then finally, we have some interesting news, and I'm sure if we talked about it last week, if you're not under a rock, you've heard of the coronavirus. It is a big deal. I know it's like I'm not smiling about it, but it's just obviously it hasn't affected the United States mm-hmm. as bad as it's affected China in other parts of the world, but for the tech industry, it is a big deal because most of the components are made in China. I've been to the factories in China. And it's when the government is shutting down entire cities and closing factories and basically shutting down the country for weeks at a time, that obviously affects sales and things like that. And there's been a bunch of stories about it, but, TrendForce put out a article about the effect of the coronavirus on tech. And if you look at just like the forecast and the revised forecast for, different things. We look at, say, notebooks, their previous forecast was 35 million units. It went down to 30.7, 12.3% change, which you might think, 12.3% is not that bad, but that's...
When you're talking the amount of money.
Yeah, the amount of money. Obviously, the big ones is smartwatches and smartphones. And of course, notebooks is pretty big change, and smart speakers is a big change as well. So I think that you are going to see a lot of things. I've already seen a few stories where a couple of the big companies are taking out these massive mm-hmm. loans because they don't have the, I guess, money to continue operating out of other, you know, because of these shutdowns, I guess.
What was it? Mobile World Congress. They mm-hmm. was supposed to be next week, right? And they kept saying for a while, oh, we're going to have it. And companies were dropping. They ended up canceling, right? There's not going to be one this year. So
there's rumors, not rumors, but there's people that I've talked to that said they heard Computex might be canceled as well.
Yeah. Or pushback.
Yeah. So it's a big thing. And it's crazy that, you know, you see about this virus in another, especially us in like the Western world, you see about this virus in another country and you're kind of like, whatever, it doesn't make it, you know, but when it's a country like China that produces most of the things that we enjoy over here, it's going to affect a lot of things. And I think you'll see prices get a little bit of an increase. You'll see shortages of a lot of things, like harder to get things. Even the companies that we work with, like they're not allowed to ship things into the United States. from their factories. So, you know, products that we might be getting to review are delayed. Like, there's a lot of things going on with this. And it's pretty wild.
I was wondering about that, about some stuff coming in today. I was like, where was this made again? And like, when was it made? And like, what province in China? Where did it come from? You know?
I opened a box the other day from China and I was just like, but I assume, I would hope that every shipment that has come in from China does get checked for those things.
Maybe.
You would think.
I mean, the box was sealed, so.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it is very interesting. We have the whole article in their findings on the website if you want to go ahead and check that out. But that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And what am I checking out here? I am checking out a portable SSD from ADATA, but it is their SE800. It's not their newer one. This one's slightly bigger, and it's in that form factor that we saw with their the other SC one that I reviewed. This is also USB 3.2 Gen 2, super fast. It's IP... I don't know.
Is it 68?
I think, but I could be wrong. But the caps are sealed, so it's going to survive drops and things like that because there's no moving parts. But it's like dust and water resistant. I don't think it's fully waterproof. It says waterproof.
Yeah, 68.
Yeah, IP68. So waterproof, dustproof. It, of course, is shockproof because there's no movable parts. Very small. As you can see, it is. This is such a bad Photoshop.
It is so bad. Like, why did I don't know why.
It's decently small. I have it. I don't know where it's at. I have it around here somewhere.
What's crazy is they tout the weight there, lightweight, 40 grams, and then you think about how light that mouse is. That you're 60 some grams.
Yeah.
That's nuts when you compare size.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I'll have that for you guys to review super fast. Again, I'm a huge fan of fast portable storage. And then I'll be taking a look at a very cool product and a company that a lot of you probably haven't heard from in a long time. At least we haven't. It's Lamptron. And I'll be taking a look at their SM436, which is a fan and RGB hub and controller. Basically, the controller is like this little board here. It has fan connections as well as RGB connections on it. And then that connects out to this display. And this display is actually installed on your PCI Express slots facing outwards through your, say, like a tempered glass window. So you can see everything. It has a remote that allows you to change fan speeds as well as RGB colors and things like that. I haven't got completely into this. I haven't installed it yet to see exactly how it works, but I think that Lamptron was like huge for fan controllers and things like that. And to see this product, which I think still can be very useful.
We saw this, or I thought we had looked at something like this. Maybe we talked about it. Okay.
We did talk about it when they first announced it. Then they reached out and they wanted us to review it. So I'll be doing that review this week.
Cool.
The only thing is that all of these RGB systems that we review are typically all kind of easy to connect. It's most of the time, like Corsair stuff, it's pretty easy. Like the stuff is pretty easy. It has software. This is like you have to connect your own RGB cables to this thing, and you can't daisy chain. Each thing has to be connected in individually. You know what I mean? So there could be a lot of wiring mess. It's the only thing I'm kind of worried about. So.
Yeah, this goes back to the days of like the Vantech and controllers and the.
I wonder what happened bay. To Vantech. Is that still a company?
I don't know. There was another one too. I swear it started with like an S or something.
I don't know. Vantech. They used to send us stuff like way back in the day, like when I started the website.
There are websites out there.
Yeah. So who knows if they still make stuff that's. Don't know. Recent, I would say. And then also, there is a new case that launches tomorrow. Can't tell you anything else about it. But check the website at 10 a.m. tomorrow, as well as YouTube. And
I'm excited to see that one.
Yeah, you'll see some stuff there. probably it's going to be definitely on my list of top cases for 2020. So yeah. And then at the end of the podcast, we talk if we did anything tech, nerd, geek related, did anything. Did you?
Did I just been questing and Azeroth?
Questing on WoW.
Yep. Nope, I picked up one of my buddies started playing WoW Classic, and I was kind of like, oh man, what a chump. Here, 2 days later or whatever, I was like, well,
once you get in, I always liked about WoW, and this, I'm going to sound like a total nerd, but at least when I played it back in the day, I felt like it took me to another world. The music in the background when you're playing, you're running around this, at least at that time, the world looked like not like cool, you know what I mean? Like when you walked into the, what's the main, wait, are you playing Horde or are you playing Alliance?
Alliance.
What's the main place in Alliance?
They're like Stormwind or Ironforge. Yeah.
You walk into those places and it's like big and you hear this music and it's like all these things going on. Like I said, it is a good game. I would never want to get back into it because it sucked. Not that it sucks so much of my life away, but I played it just a little bit too long.
We'll see how that goes. It's bringing back a lot of nostalgia, you know, like remembering quests and how to play the game and everything. And
what character are you? Look, this.
I rolled a Holy Paladin, which is what I played last time. And so I was like pulling out screenshots from like back in the day to make them look exactly the same.
That's
So it's a kind of a boring build because he doesn't do a lot of damage, but
yeah,
that's all right. It's fun. We need a healer.
I was a gnome mage.
Okay.
And I was an ice mage, which is very helpful because you'd always freeze the guys before they could, before they could hit you. I've been working on reviews and things like that, but I did a kind of a dumb thing. And I told you about it the other day. So for some reason, I don't know what's going on with this external hard drive I have. It's the Western Digital.
Oh yeah,
my book. it's a 10 terabyte external drive, and I throw all of like my raw stuff on there before it goes to my NAS. And for some reason, like when I like would start my computer, none of the USB things would start. Like NZXT cam would be like just on its loading thing, like things wouldn't load. But as soon as I unplug that drive, everything would load. So I was like, there's something wrong with this drive. And I've been trying to figure it out. You know, you power off the drive. I've been trying all these things. And I was like, well, let me just try a check disk. But
this won't take long.
I did the check disk with the /R, which is to repair everything. And if I bring it up, I wish I could show you this.
it's still going, isn't it?
It's been going for 4 days, maybe 5 days.
Oh, my gosh. That seems a little excessive though. Like
it's this, right? Well, I'm on stage 5 of the check disk. I wish I could see how long it's actually taken. But my ETA now is 35 hours. It's been around 30 hours for 4 days now. Hopefully this fixes the problem that I was having with that drive, because I would not like to have to replace that drive because it's But the thing about check disk that I didn't know at the time, because only time I've run it is when I, you know, you just do it really quickly and you do it without the /R. I did it with /R because I'm an idiot. But is that it locks the volume. So if I turn off my computer or if I just close command prompt, the disk is locked or the volume's locked and I could potentially lose, I don't know how many terabytes of store. I mean, I have a lot of stuff on there. So I'm just waiting for this to be done. Oops. And like, you know, every once in a while, like Adobe Premiere will like freeze and like you have to restart your computer, or like Lightroom will also freeze and it won't allow you to open your library unless you restart your computer. So like, I'm really hoping that doesn't happen because I need to use those programs, but I also don't want to lose everything that's on this drive. So yeah, that's the conundrum that I'm in. So hopefully in the next, it says 30, and the time's actually going down, not up, because it was going up before. So nice. Hopefully in 35 hours it will be done.
Yeah, I guess we'll know this weekend, right?
Yeah. Hopefully. But yeah, that is basically it.
I was just gonna add the note about last week we were on sort of Home Gadget yes. Geeks podcast on Thursday night. We ran into some technical issues over there, but I think Jim still published the video from last week.
Oh, he did?
It was about an hour of us just like doing some troubleshooting live and just banter and all that. So, you know, feel free to check that out, but we will be back on that show in a couple weeks to kind of probably not talk CES stuff, maybe just a quick recap. But I think we'll just cover some of our more recent reviews and just, you know,
hardware in general. We'll put out the link to that episode on our social media.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he actually published it because it was us basically trying to help him troubleshoot his computer, which I think is pretty cool because when you have issues, like I had this hard drive issue, I had to like go online, but it was all of us trying to help him fix his computer. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, that is basically it. Ryan, are you going to be doing
I take it back. He did not publish it. So
we will not be putting out that link for you.
Sorry.
You going to be gaming?
Yep, I sure am.
What are you like, playing?
Right over here. Yeah. You said you're not gaming, so I will see who is online. Just looking up at my Discord, I got somebody's playing WoW Classic. Not going to stream that.
Should stream WoW Classic. I'd love to watch you play WoW Classic, but I'm like a WoW nerd, so.
I mean, I might. We'll see. I already set up a OBS for it. Nice. So either that or Apex. I'll see what...
I've gotten some wins on Apex this past week.
Yeah. You kept sending me your highlight reels and screenshots. And
yeah, I really want to play because Duos is going on and we did pretty good last week. Was that last week or it was last week.
Yeah, we got a win.
Yeah, we got a win and everything. So I really want to play, but I have to finish some stuff tonight. So I can't. But we'll go ahead and end things here. We're just about at an hour. Again, not a whole lot going on this week, but really cool reviews from us coming next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. As I always say, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So if you want more information, go ahead and check that out. And on all of your social media, or not social, all of your podcasting apps and software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, we'll catch you guys later.